Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
About you got to put it in perspective.
Bring your popcorn. I'm thinking about maybe we just set up a popcorn machine in the back because that's what this is becoming. It's becoming a show.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I can't believe it's October already.
Well, it's hard to believe, but October is here already.
We're moving into October already, if you can believe it.
Can you believe it's already October?
Okay. It's October already.
I don't believe it.
It's hard to believe that October is already here.
October already.
Right.
Can you believe it?
I cannot believe it's October already.
I can't believe it's already October.
Can't believe it's October already.
Hard to believe it's October already.
Hard to believe it's already October.
Hard to believe it's already October.
I'm in the business of misery. Let's take you from the top. She's got a body like an hourglass that's ticking like a clock. It's a matter of time before we all run out. When I thought he was mine, she caught him by the mouth.
It's bull poop. This is bull crap. Yeah! Poop.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'll probably have his picture there with a sudden.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Bing, bing, bing.
Blip, blip.
Roll another one.
I find that offensive.
Just like the other.
Fridays are for suckers.
This one seems to be about to quit.
What are you even doing?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Bro code, bro.
Said nobody ever.
Just pass it around.
Hate the player, hate the game.
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Rest in peace.
Well, just pass it on down.
And now,
the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin and the Bean.
Which I think might be made up. Apologies to Kevin and Bean, if that is indeed your real name.
Our feature presentation.
What was that?
Come on. What was that from?
Gentlest Mocking.
I think it's from a wrestling podcast. Is that what I'm hearing?
It is.
And we're talking about CM Punk?
Yeah, CM Punk. Our CM Punk interview made quite a stir in the wrestling world.
Even though he really told us very little.
Yeah, not a ton, but anytime he opens his mouth, it gets on those dirt sheets, they call them.
Right.
And that was clearly someone making fun of us.
That's funny. I mean, look, if we had never heard of Kevin and Bean and we saw the name, we would go, that's a stupid
name.
That's
dumb, of course.
And they're right. They're right to mock it.
We support them.
Yes.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 4th of Rocktober.
Are we all basking in the postseason glow this morning? Everybody feeling pretty good?
Mm-hmm. It does feel good.
Yeah?
Good start.
I mean, I thought he was going to make the field goal. That hurt.
Okay,
that hurt a lot. We missed the field goal by 2 inches.
What are you even saying?
We were talking about the baseball game, not the football game that was on last night. We're talking about the Dodgers postseason.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Rams.
No,
baseball.
My bad. Although I will tell you, I did develop a blister on my finger, and not for the usual reason, from hitting that last channel button on my DirecTV remote, trying to watch both at the same time.
No picture in picture.
I'm sure I have picture-in-picture because I have a fairly modern TV, but I don't know how to use it. I've never used it, and I don't know how to set it up.
But you could watch like half of the football game and then go back, and it'll still be 3-1 count on the same batter. So you're good.
On the contrary, I watched an entire half inning of the Dodgers game and went back and had missed 2 minutes and 30 seconds of football. So I was going back and forth, but it really felt good, man, and the crowd was so into it. But I do have one concern. I saw Mary Hart in the audience. Mm-hmm. Where's Larry King?
He hasn't been there for a bit.
He's sick. That's what they're saying, right?
Is he?
Yeah. He filed
He's also 110.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was. I mean, he hasn't been there much. He hasn't been there as much this season, but he was there last playoffs, last year for the
playoffs.
Yeah,
not this season. I think the story was that his wife, or he filed for divorce from his wife from a hospital bed, and that was a couple months ago.
Oh,
and they said
man.
He was already pretty bad, yeah.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
So who got his seat, I wonder? I didn't recognize whoever it was. I mean, I feel like you have to replace one celebrity at a sporting event with another.
Is that a rule?
I don't know. That was my understanding. Hmm. But it was just some schlub. Some no-name.
Right.
Just ruining the Larry King seat, you think?
Yes.
Making it cheaper?
I was happy, obviously, as we all were for the Dodgers. I think the stat, and they have a stat for everything, is if you win the first game of a five-game series in the postseason, I think you go on to win like 74% of the time you go on to close out that series. So the first game is very important.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of little heroes. And, I mean, obviously, Max Muncy, you got to thank. Walker Buehler, you got to thank. And how about the kid? How about the 21-year-old? Gavin Lux. How about him hitting a homer? At 21, Kevin.
Yeah.
What were you doing?
Throwing rocks in my neighbor.
I know.
And a very, very tough loss for the Rams last night. I did feel I was delighted with the outcome, but I did very much feel for Rams fans.
They did play well enough, at least in the second half, to win that game. And he kicked that well enough to make it, but missed it by so little.
Well, and the bigger problem and the reason they've got to be kicking themselves today, no pun intended, is that they had a delay of game the play before, which put it back 5 yards.
It back, yeah.
Yeah, if it hadn't been for that, he probably would have made it, and they'd be looking at a win. So, anyway, moving on, we do have a very big show today, but Allie, you were correct to say that this was going to be a huge story, so I feel like many of our listeners may not have heard it yet.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is angering me.
Mm-hmm.
The news at LAX, you guys.
I'm burning something down. I don't know what.
Yeah.
Frequent flyers beware. The Los Angeles Times reports this morning Los Angeles International Airport will soon ban ride-hailing companies from picking up passengers outside its terminals.
No! By the way, I heard cabs, too, this morning
cabs,
coming in.
Oh, really?
Cabs as well.
Yep.
So it's purely a congestion issue?
Yes.
Oh. They're saying yes.
Huh.
I will say that we all travel a lot, all of us in this room. LAX does a better job than most airports of keeping people moving.
You haven't been to LAX in a long time.
I have. I'm telling you, they still do a better job than most airports because most airports, people come and they sit there for 40 minutes if they want. At least they have active police at LAX who, on their rounds, attempt to get people to stop from parking.
Do you only fly to Chicago, O'Hare? Is that the only one?
No, I fly to lots of airports where it's much worse.
LAX is a nightmare.
It is a nightmare. I totally agree.
It is the worst airport I've ever been to, and I fly into a lot of airports.
And we also have terrible parking. I mean, it kind of goes across the board as being not perfectly designed.
Well, yeah, it's not modern because it's been around for so long and it was set up for a very different time with a lot less traffic. So it sounds like I'm hearing some boos on their decision, but also you understand why they're doing it, and it may help a lot for people who do drive.
If you want to take a cab or Uber or Lyft or whatever, you have to take a shuttle to a different lot instead of being picked up where you are.
Which is totally what you want to do after a long trip with multiple suitcases.
Yes.
Is line up and wait for a shuttle, then get to that lot and then wait for your car there. It is the worst decision ever. F-U-L-A-X. Thank you.
Now, when this came out and we were texting last night, I suggested the way they do it in, again, multiple airports around the world, which is just to carve off just a little section. You lose about 40 parking spaces just to have a little place in the parking structure where people can walk to, and that's where you pick up rideshare.
Which seems to be the most common sort of adjustment that airports have done. Yeah.
Why can't LAX do that?
They don't want to give up those spots, I'm sure.
Yeah, they make a lot of money on those spots.
Yeah.
But now they got to deal with all this shuttle BS.
Yeah. Well, they're just going to have it in a small section, and then you'll, you know, walk in like cattle into this shuttle. I mean,
they're also guaranteeing that you won't have to wait more than 5 minutes for a shuttle.
Well, what's the guarantee? They drive you home?
I don't buy it, is my point. Yeah. There's no way I buy that you only wait 5 minutes.
Yeah. Here's my question.
Yes.
I call a Lyft.
Right.
And I write to the person, take your sticker off. I'm going to get in the front seat. I'm going to hug you. I'm going to be like, oh, my God, thank you. You're my friend. You're my cousin. Thank you for picking me up. How will they know?
Thank you.
Mazatlan, just solve the whole thing. Everybody do it.
Can I text you back as the driver?
Yeah.
Have tried this before. We have to be boyfriend, girlfriend. Need kiss.
All right.
Depends on how long you've been away, Ellen.
Honestly,
how quickly you need to get home.
These suitcases are heavy. Do you want tongue?
LAX says that the trip should take no longer than 15 minutes, except for from Terminal 4, where it will take 18, they claim.
That was shocking to me. Mm-hmm. 15 minutes. Is that because they stop at every single terminal?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So by the time you get to the last terminal, maybe it's only been 5 minutes, but the bus is full. The shuttle's full.
There's no place for
you to wait for
And by the way,
one.
The biggest casualty of this whole thing is that means we have to have friends.
To pick us up?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, I'm never picking friends up at LAX.
This is awful.
Ever. It's the worst.
The ripple effect is going to be brutal. Yeah.
I have friends. I don't have any that close that would pick me up from an airport.
No, we got to be... For me to pick you up at the airport.
So just you and your Uber driver, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Anyway, nice I'm night. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but that is what was revealed yesterday. So that is happening. And by the way, this isn't one of those deals where they say, hey, you know, like your real, your what do they call it, the real ID on your driver's license, where you get some sort of a heads up. This isn't like next November. This is in 2 weeks.
Yeah, end of the month, right?
End of the month, the 29th. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So please enjoy.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, is that what we settled on? I wasn't aware that was the deal.
Cheers with mugs.
Oh, my favorite feature.
The program today. Jensen has a new fast food report.
I do.
We're going to talk to the director of the restaurant, the Lowell Cafe. I'm sure you've heard about it. It is the Weed Cafe. You screwed up at work. We're going to take your calls. We have
mugs. We're looking at you.
How dare. Okay.
We have Ryan Getzlaff, captain of the Anaheim Ducks.
Suck it, Chip.
Hockey is back.
Hockey is back.
And keep it 100 because it is Friday. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Did I mention that it was Fri-yay, by the way? Did I say
that?
Fri-yay.
But thank God you did.
Friday.
I feel like I dropped the ball on that. I'm so sorry. Hey, Allie, what's happening on this first what's happening of the morning?
Huh? You're right.
What is happening on this first what's happening of the what's happening morning?
Better.
I loved it. A former employee at Robert De Niro's production company has slammed the actor with a $12 million federal lawsuit, claiming that he harassed her and discriminated against her for being a woman, then retaliated against her when she told him that she was planning to take legal action. One example, he allegedly went ballistic on Graham Chase Robinson, calling her a spoiled brat in a voicemail when she didn't answer his call. He also said, "How dare you effing disrespect me?" He also said, "You're effing history." This woman is the woman that he's suing because she would just watch Friends.
Oh, I love
for
her.
Hours.
A big fan of hers.
Just binge watch on the clock. Yeah. She had spent a ton of his money, but she's claiming now, that's in retaliation for this lawsuit that she just filed. Oh, so
I love this woman's work.
I feel like maybe your timing didn't work out quite.
This
way
woman is the employee
to.
We all aspire to be.
Yeah.
Oof.
She did we find out she did like 5 hours of work per week? Or
yeah.
Something?
Oh, tops. Yeah. She was just watching Friends, binge watching it, and then embezzling a ton of money.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Ordering a ton of Postmates.
Yeah.
Ordering Postmates. Wasn't she also using his Sky Miles or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was doing everything that if you could.
She took
get
his
away
part
with
in a
it.
Movie.
Yes. Yes.
It's crazy.
Oh, I hope that job's available. I want that job so bad.
Oh, yeah, that is a good
job.
Sounds
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the fact that if Robert De Niro left a voicemail for me saying, "How dare you effing disrespect me, your effing history," that would be my outgoing message.
Yeah.
Be the best
like,
thing ever.
Listen to Robert De Niro cussing me out.
But
how
it would
great
also
is this?
Be based on the years we've watched Robert De Niro in movies. It would also be terrifying. Because he seems like the guy who has the muscle or the connections to, you know, to follow through.
Like to have you whacked?
Have you whacked, yes.
Wow. I feel like that's kind of
could
rude
just be
to,
movies. Could
rude
just be
to
movies.
Italians right there.
Well, I don't know. He's terrifying. And have you seen him box? Woo.
I have not.
He did that one movie where he boxed.
Rocky?
Raging Bulls.
Yeah, Rocky.
Kind of a famous.
I was kidding. That wasn't him.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Oh,
is that what the movie is from? The movie Raging Bull. That was in the 70s.
That's right. Martin Scorsese.
Yeah. Sure.
Great movies of all time.
Honestly, I thought that was about a bull rider. Is it really about boxing?
Yes. Allie, it's about Jake LaMotta.
Yeah,
about,
true story. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, you didn't. But hold on.
It's a cult. I mean, it's one of the 100 best movies ever made.
Hold on. I know.
Well, I just want to make sure. You thought Raging Bull was about a bull that was raging?
No, well, obviously, well, most bulls are raging.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was a bull rider. Like, it got to stay on that bull in the rodeo.
You've seen a lot of clips of Robert De Niro riding a bull?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm going to ride this one. This one's name is Yellow Jacket. And then they're like, not that one. That one's the raging bull. And he's like, no problem. And then he looks down at the spikes on his boots and they're like, those are illegal, mister. And he's like, not in this town.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're a gift.
Now so. I wish it was that.
I think you need to get in touch with Mr. De Niro's people.
Yeah. No problem.
Or his assistant, former assistant, whichever.
Are you thinking of 8 Seconds, the actual bull riding movie starring Luke Perry? Is it possible that you confuse those two?
Oh, no. That
Don't
is a classic.
Don't give her so much credit.
That is okay. A classic.
Sorry.
How dare you? Oh, all right, guys. Some birthdays for you. Melissa Benoist, Dakota Johnson.
Whoa.
What?
Two very talented young actresses.
Okay. You've got Anne Rice. You must feel a connection to her, Bean.
I mean, I know where she used to live.
In New Orleans?
Yes.
Yeah. That's doesn't count. Alicia Silverstone, Liev Schreiber, soon Sarandon. And that's what's happening.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock. Allie, you had an interesting story pop up yesterday that I think is worth discussing.
Yeah, I came across this on social media, and I looked into it, and I was like, oh, this could get real ugly, you guys.
What? Something on social media?
Got ugly?
Let me tell you about 24-year-old Emily Clough. She went to apply for a marketing coordinator position with a company in Austin called Kick-Ass Masterminds. She didn't have the highest of hopes. She's applied to a ton of places. Job offers can be few and far between when you graduate from college. But
not only that, unemployment is at record lows right now. You know?
Right.
I mean, there's... Not a lot out there
yeah.
for anybody. By the way, would you... What's the name of the company again?
Kick-Ass Masterminds.
Would you ever, no matter how great the job was, work for a company called Kick-Ass Masterminds?
Well, they appear to be a very cool, female-forward company. That's where she wanted to take her career, was to marketing. You know, worst-case scenario, she doesn't hear back from them. No big deal.
Yeah.
Best case scenario, she gets hired and then has them change the name.
There you go.
To an actual name.
After applying online at about 9:40 a.m., she was sent a link with the second part of the application asking her, what's her marketing background? How would you describe yourself? Tell a story proving your grit and toughness. And then this is where it took a little bit of a turn. According to Emily, she said after submitting the second half of the application, she got a message that said, following Kick-Ass Masterminds Instagram gives applicants an advantage over other applicants.
Okay.
She's like, all right, cool. I'm in.
Yeah, marketing. You might need social media knowledge.
Sure.
Hit that follow, and she scrolled through the posts, checked out, you know, who the audience was, and then she clicked on their stories.
Whose stories? The actual company?
Kick-Ass Mastermind stories, where she saw a post of a woman in a bathing suit with the text over the picture that said, warning, PSA, because I know some of you applicants are looking at this. Do not share your social media with the potential employer if this is the kind of content on it. I'm looking for a professional marketer, not a bikini model. Go on with your bad self and do whatever in private, but this is not doing you any favors in finding a professional job. That picture was Emily.
From her social media, from her own Instagram,
from June. So this obviously was posted before she followed them. So they looked at her Instagram, went back to June, screenshot a picture of her in a bikini in a pool, and wrote this PSA.
Wow. All right, I'm furious right now.
It's disgusting, despicable, and it gets worse.
I'm mad too. Can you send me the pic? Just on the WhatsApp, maybe?
So, she sends a DM to the company on Instagram, like, hey, what's going on?
How about that? How about you not do that?
The company responded, remember that everything that you put on social media is public and future potential employers will see it. Best of luck in your job search.
Wow. Oh, man. She dodged a bullet.
She writes back, I'm aware of that as I worked with social media for 2 years. I didn't realize wearing a bathing suit and appreciating my body made me unprofessional. Most employers and companies, especially those who work with marketing, have that understanding. I'm disappointed to see a company that I was very interested in decide to go out of their way to shame an applicant. As you will see in an email I sent to hey at kickassmasterminds.com, I included my resume, cover letter, and politely asked you to take down the story. Their response, best of luck.
Ugh.
So she wrote back, take down the story.
Right.
Then they blocked her.
Oh, my God.
They blocked her.
They are terrible at marketing.
Terrible at marketing. So that's when she's like, all right, you know what? I wasn't going to do it, but she went to Twitter.
It's on.
She went to Twitter and she said, basically, I'm being shamed. She said, I was objectified earlier today by a company because of a picture of me in a bikini.
They claimed, pool, by the way, is an important part.
Yeah, in a pool.
She's not in an office.
No.
Which, but even
there's
if she
nothing
was.
Wrong with that as well. Yeah. Right.
They claimed it made me unprofessional. They screenshot the photo, posted it on their Insta story, and called me out. I am still baffled that the company handled it in such a manner.
I would understand. I'm with Jensen, by the way. I would understand the story more clearly had I seen the photo.
Yeah, I understand. Share that.
But, you need all the info.
I know we're all furious, but please allow me to go first. Every applicant for every job in 21st century America should expect their social media to be combed through.
Yes. Absolutely.
If you end up and they see a video of you standing in the doorway of a CVS shouting the N-word, as we saw on the internet last week, then they have every right to point that out and not hire you.
Yes.
If they see you, you know, if they see you at a Klan rally, they still have Klan rallies? If they see you at a Klan rally.
Like you don't know.
It's on you, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I'm sorry. There's less than 0% wrong with a woman having a bikini picture on her social media. It has nothing to do with her ability to do
pool.
The job.
Yeah. They were looking for something because they went back to June, too.
Oh,
so
really?
They scrolled back. They were trying to get after something. But I saw this online because
you saw
I follow...
the picture or what?
Well, yes.
Okay. Because I haven't gotten that yet.
None of us have.
Yeah,
I will
maybe
tell you
seen
this.
That.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
I would be in a bathing suit right now if I had
her body.
Bottom.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Oh, man. I feel like we only know half the story.
Okay, here's the thing. So I see this online because I follow Erica Nardini. She's the CEO of Barstool Sports.
Okay.
And she wrote, to be honest, she looks great, and I'd argue she's a good marketer. Then she rates dogs is the Twitter that wound up posting it that went viral, went ballistic. Like, this girl applied for an internship at a company and they put up this screenshot in her bikini. Long story short with this, the company has been bombarded.
Love it.
They've done a whole bunch of stuff. They've gone quiet online. They shut down their website. Their accounts on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn also shut down. Instagram made private.
She broke the company.
Yeah. Well, the company, I feel, was very broken. But here's the best part. Somebody noticed before they were able to shutter all of their Instagram and different social medias. Maybe you guys shouldn't have a picture of all of the employees in a bathing suit on your Instagram.
No!
Wait, what?
This company did everything wrong. Wow. So not only hypocrites.
Do you have that one, though?
Human...
Do you have that pic?
No, it's been, that one's been shut down. Yeah.
I can find it.
Yeah, but all I'm saying right now is, yeah, know that your social media will be combed through. But also...
Yes, but also, this is totally bogus.
Mm-hmm. This is 100% bogus, and Kick-Ass Masterminds might be the worst marketing company I've ever heard of in my life. And Emily Clow, if I look like you, I would post that bikini
I would also
every
like
day.
To say, I don't speak for the company, but I think
you
that
would like
help
to,
you,
you,
would
like
help
to
you
hire
get
Emily?
Help you get a job here,
okay.
Is what I'm saying, yeah. I think that would be a positive, yes.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Cheers with Mugs, people.
Woo! Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah!
Asking questions with no shame.
What are you...
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh!
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow. Mugs, where do you go every week?
This is my favorite watering hole in the whole entire world, called O'Grady's in Granada Hills, and this is where I find the outstanding people of society, and I ask them hard-hitting questions.
Mm-hmm.
The topic on the table, I'm sorry, I'm on a lot of drugs, you guys. The topic on the table this week...
with no context.
Can't tell, which is odd.
Honestly, it was kind of just in line with your normal talking.
Thank you, Jen. It's normal. Yeah. The topic on the table this week was the worst injury you've ever had, because... like I said, I'm on a lot of drugs because of my worst injury, which is a broken collarbone. And It's going to be surprising what you hear from these people.
Muggs, as always, is the best and the drunkest at this bar.
Sure. What's the worst injury you've ever had?
Gout. In my kneecap.
Gout.
In my knee.
Let it all out. I wish I didn't have it in my lower kneecap. Come on.
I'm talking about gout.
Come on.
Yeah.
That was odd because Muggs did most of that singing and then he's like, yeah.
What I just heard was great. He's thrilled.
That was two drugs who in that moment were the best friends.
Agreed.
They loved each other more than anyone has ever loved anyone.
It's
they were
the best
so in tune
song
with
they've
each
ever
other.
Heard as well.
That's right. Yes.
Right. Everything was great about that.
Definitely my shoulder. I dislocated my shoulder a bunch of times. I tore my labrum and my rotator cuff. So like constantly before I had surgery, I had stem cell, which is actually pretty dope. So if you're ever thinking of stem cell, go for it.
Do they have like stem cell for like penis size?
I wish, dude. That would be really nice. I would just, as long as they could cure, if they could cure like the herpes of the penis with stem cell too, that would be also really dope.
What's the worst injury you ever had?
I split a lip.
Okay, this guy.
Oh my gosh.
This guy rules. Let's start it.
And can I also say that the herpes guy really offered up more than he needed?
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Kidding. All right, so here it is. Yes.
Best injury you ever had?
A split lip.
A split lip is what he's saying.
Okay. It was at a cell at the old school Atlantis Country Club. A giant Samoan Sui. Forearm me right in the face.
Stop.
Wait.
We need to just really take this in.
We need to decipher. Yeah. Does he still have a split lip? Is that why we don't understand? Or does he just have a crazy accent?
Look, when I was interviewing him, he was showing me the injury, and I think his whole entire front grill is fake. And he showed me the wound on his bottom lip.
Oh, so it's still like a giant scar.
Yes.
Is that why we can't understand him?
Yes.
Also, is he inside of the speaker yelling? Or why is he screaming?
Because it's a loud bar and he's hammered.
Okay,
let's try and figure out what he's saying.
I split lip. It was in a cell at the old school Atlantis Country Club.
It was in Excel?
I thought it was in a cell.
Oh, no, I thought it was in a show. In a show.
One more, ring it back.
But yeah, in a show in an old Kaleidoscope Club?
Country Club.
Oh. What the hell is that? Kaleidoscope Club.
I love like Kaleidoscope Club. All right, let's try it again.
At the old school Atlantis Country Club.
At the old school Kaleidoscope Country Club? Yeah, something like that.
Kaleidoscope Country
Club. At the old school Atlantis Country Club. Yeah. A giant Samoan Sui forearm me right in the face.
So that was the best pit you've ever been in where you got elbowed in the face. Forearm of the...
Best pit I was ever in!
That'll be 3 for 3. Like, the best interviews in a row
ever fast. What?
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 I don't...
What happened?
I still don't know what happened to the dude.
I can't even...
I think what, he said what hit him in the face? A guy named Chewy's forearm.
A guy named Chewy's forearm?
Honestly, I
got a shot at the frame!
That's what I
thought he said in the cell, though. I did. I thought he was talking about... Being in jail.
I was wrestling in Hell in a Cell.
Was he in a pit?
Yes, I think that's what happened. He was at a show in a pit, and he got a forearm to the face.
My God, and Chewy.
Did he say what show?
I still
what
don't know.
What the hell? How would we know?
We're just trying to figure out what he did say. You're asking what if he said other things?
Eric had a real big press contest.
Was it the early show or the late show? Did he say?
Oh, my God.
My worst injury that I recall that I ever had, I would have to say that it's when I tore my ACL snowboarding in some year or other. And it's caused me a little bit of trouble, but I don't... It, no more, you know?
Good. Oh, man, what's the worst injury?
Good. Mugs could not have cared less about that guy. Please just stop talking so I can say good and move on.
What's the worst injury you've ever had?
So, this is really embarrassing. I was like, my then it got caught in my zipper. The skin got caught on it. Like, I was screaming for help, but my mom was looking around like...
Did your mom know that your junk was caught in your zipper?
I was like, I was having a nightmare.
That's like a real life nightmare.
What kind of laugh is that?
Was he having sex with his mom?
That's what I heard.
No, he
that's
was.
That's what I heard.
I had to beep out he was masturbating.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
So I had to beep out the way he described
yes.
it. Because
oh.
it was,
yes.
Because he calls it his mom.
Hey, that's what he named his penis, right?
Mom hurts. Oh, I'm going to keep going. Here's my favorite laugh of Mugs ever.
That was like a half in pain laugh. Half, this is great.
And half, I need to get away from this guy.
That's like a real life nightmare.
I'll never forget about that day.
Completely anonymous. What's the worst injury you've ever had?
I have a mole right next to my and I was thinking that I was going to get laid. So I thought it would be nice and like, you know, it would be polite to shave down there. And it was the first time I had ever shaved. And so I got one of my dad's disposable razors with like the one really sharp razor or whatever, and I just went at it and that was fine, and then I realized that there was a mole missing and a lot of blood.
Ooh,
that hurts.
Ouch.
It's not good.
Yeah, no, I was actually too I didn't get laid.
Really?
Okay.
But I learned how to shave my
how not to shave your
Wow. I love everyone there. And Muggs, you do good work.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came. Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
Jensen.
Yes.
I'm starving. What do you have for me?
It's the Fast Food Report.
KROQ 106.7 FM, through the magical wonderment of radio airwaves, brings you the Fast Food Report with your dude with the lowdown on chain restaurant food, Jensen Karp.
Pooped my pants.
He'll get his hands dirty with grease and face covered in cheese. He's your direct line to delicacies and calories. He is Jensen Karp. Take it away, Gumshoe.
Oh, thanks, Omar. Hey, guys, I am so excited for this week because I feel that we have a large, unique list of fast food delicacies.
Excellent.
That are being introduced to these chains.
Okay.
And I want to know what you guys think about it. So I'm going to describe a new item at one of our favorite fast food restaurants, different ones all over the world. And you're going to tell me if you would eat it or beat it. Very easy.
All right.
Let's start with Sonic. It may be a bit of a white whale here in California to an extent, but those lucky enough to live near one, I have a surprise for you. It's called the Garlic Butter Bacon Burger.
Whoa. Garlic butter bacon burger.
Sure, it's a tongue twister, but does it make your mouth water? The garlic butter bacon burger features 100% quarter pound beef patty, seared with garlic butter, and topped with grilled onions, American cheese, mayo, and bacon, all on a toasted bakery bun. And if that sounds too big, well, they have the garlic bacon burger junior.
Which no, do it or don't, people.
Well, it's just a smaller version.
Go big or go home.
Well, it's like It's like it's just a if the other one's huge, this one's very small. It's like the way that Vin Diesel is to Jeff Bezos. You know, they look very much similar, but their sizes are very different.
I would have gotten Whopper and Whopper Jr., but whatever. Fair. It's your segment.
Except you're going to pay $479 for the big version, $279 for the small boy, and these will be available only through November 3rd. So I ask you. Garlic butter bacon burger. Is it a bona fide banging buffet or is it bad, baffling, bewildering buffoonery? Or how I say it, eat it or beat it, let's start coming!
I think I gotta eat that.
Eat it. Bean eater, beat it.
I hate to rub it in for folks who don't live near a Sonic because they're all over Louisiana.
Yeah, they're not a lot here.
Everywhere. That made my stomach hurt, even hearing the description of that. I'm going to pass. I'm going to beat it.
Okay, all right.
Interesting, because it made my stomach hurt because I want it so bad. Ooh. And I will drive to you, Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
I will drive to you and eat it.
All right, sounds good to me. Every new item at Dunkin' causes quite a stir. Mm-hmm. It is almost like a viral machine. Anything they release, it's like a cult over there. People who dig their coffee can't even imagine getting it somewhere else. But I ask you about their food. More specifically, what about the croissant stuffer?
The croissant stuffer.
That's right. It's only available at specific locations in the South for now. But they're warm, crusty croissants stuffed with three different choices. Three cheese, chicken with bacon and cheese, or turkey and cheese.
Wow. Mm.
Okay. They're priced at $3.49 each, and let's just say they're hot pockets for rich people. So, croissant stuffers. Stuff me good or I never would eat or be a stumpy!
I don't eat anything that is warm and or crusty, so I'm gonna beat it.
Beat it.
Policy is that. He's nothing can't. Warm.
He's putting his foot down. Let's go to Kevin.
Can I have three answers? Yes, yes, and yes.
Eat it. All right, fair enough. Allie, how are you feeling on the stuffed croissant?
I would like to try that.
All right, good one. All right, let's stay with Dunkin'. Halloween is approaching fast, and we know that restaurants and these chain places roll out spooky menus, you know? So the first seasonal item that caught my attention is the spider donut.
The spider donut.
I'm intrigued.
I am out.
Kevin tuned out.
Right?
Yeah.
Is it a black widow?
I'm a beat it. I don't want it. I'm against it.
I'd like to hear you out.
I would
Jensen.
Also like to stop both of them from trying it as well.
Well, you place it on the back of your neck and you. No. Okay, here we go. This is not for arachnophobes. It's a ring donut and it's frosted with orange icing and topped with an 8-legged donut creature made from a glazed chocolate munchkin donut hole treat with chocolate drizzle for spider legs or white orange. Icing for the eyes. Mm. If you understood any of that, I assume you have diabetes, but I still have to ask. The spider donut. Spin me that web or I'll take the glazed instead. Commonly known as eater best eye.
What is happening? What did you say at the end there?
I said Allie.
Allie, okay.
I think you guys know my feelings about Dunkin's. Mm. The country runs on Dunkin'.
Right.
We know that.
It does. But again, food different. We think about coffee.
No.
Okay.
I'm eating it.
All right, the spider legs, everything, all in now. I'm going to wait for the man who has trauma. Let's start with Bean.
I enjoy all Halloween-related foods.
Yes.
I'm 100%. I eat this.
All right, here it comes.
This is difficult because
PTSD.
Spider is chocolate.
Yes, it truly is.
So what do I close my eyes and I eat it.
Okay. Eat it. Eat it.
That's, a good workaround.
Not to be outdone, Carvel is bringing the trick or treat. But mostly the treat with their 31 Nights of Halloween Shake. That's right, 31 Nights of Halloween Shake. It is a quote unquote slime shake, okay? And it features cookies and cream flavored ice cream.
Yum.
Also with vanilla soft serve blended into Oreo cookies. It also has edible slime topped with whipped cream. Now, you might ask, what's edible slime?
What's edible slime?
That's a good question because I researched for 30 minutes online and still couldn't find an answer.
What?
Your guess is as good as mine, but as one man said on Reddit, it better not be ghost sperm.
Yes, I'm very concerned by the name edible slime.
That's valid.
I did find that as just someone just saying, I can't eat it. Let's hope it's not ghost sperm. Mm-hmm. The new slime shake will be available at participating locations October 1st through October 31st, making it a true Halloween release. So I ask you, and I got to remind you, there's an ingredient in this I can't actually pin down, okay? So 31 Nights of Halloween Slime Shake. Let the ghoul loose or avoid the ghost juice, or in layman's terms, eat your pants, copy!
First of all, I trust Carvel. They're a wonderful chain.
Okay.
And as I previously stated, I'm all in on Halloween foods. I'm going every day of October to eat.
Ooh, all 31 days. Kevin,
I'm going to try them all.
What are you feeling?
I'm feeling the same.
All right. Allie?
I have been pressured to eat ghost slime Many times in my life. Right. And quite frankly, no.
Okay, no.
Had enough.
Okay.
Filled up.
All right.
All done.
This one's a little different. This is, we're all big Del Taco fans here at Kevin and Bean. And for good reason. They take chances.
Sure.
Right? They're like the Shia LaBeouf of fast food. Major risks for major rewards. Okay. So when I heard they were entering the fragrance industry.
Oh. Fragrance?
I was all nose. Delta, as I always say it mostly, Del Taco has released an aromatherapy set of essential oils with scents to promote their new mini churro dipper shake. So the three smells are chocolate, vanilla, and cinnamon churro. The entire kit will run you $1.49 plus shipping and handling, which is cheap. But I'm disappointed there's no way to make your house smell like the deep fryer. But imagine yourself on a relaxing night, right? Mm-hmm. You had a long day at work, you draw a bath, put on some moody music, and then your whole house smells like Del Taco churros. So, with this scent idea, I ask you, are you willing to sniff or feeling the whiff, spray it or nay it? Let's start with Kevin.
I think it would make me want to leave the house and go out and get it, so I'm not going to eat that.
It's spray it or nay it.
I'm not going to spray it.
Spray it
so
or nay it.
So you're going
it.
To...
Nay.
Nay it. Right.
That was a journey.
Wow. Okay, Bean, spray it or nay it?
That was terrible. I'm going to be constructive here. You should kill yourself.
Nay it.
Allie, spray it or nay it?
I love an essential oil. Mm-hmm. I have an essential oil diffuser in my living room, bedroom, and bathroom.
Don't need the whole history of your...
You have a floor plan I could see of your place?
I'd like to spray it.
Spray it.
All right. Now, Muggs.
I'm worried about the further use that the spray it drop will get.
That's kind of why I picked it. Muggs, how early do you usually eat fast food?
There is no time. Any time of day is perfect.
All right. I've seen you snacking on cheeseburgers or leftover tacos as early as 7 a.m. So this new addition to the Whataburger menu is just for you. May I introduce you to the limited time breakfast burger? Okay. It features a beef patty, creamy pepper sauce, two slices of bacon, a freshly cracked egg, three crispy hash browns on top of the patty, and American cheese, all sandwiched between a 4-inch bun.
Oh.
It's basically taller than Brad Williams. Priced at $3.99 on its own or $5.99 part of a meal, the new breakfast burger is available at participating locations during breakfast hours from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. So it's whether you're just waking up or treating your cataracts medically at night. This one's for either of you. And the early bird, so I have to ask, do you arrive to get the worm or avoid the butthole burn, or in simple terms, eat or be a thigh?
Again, I think that was for me.
That was for you.
Okay. I was out at Creamy Pepper Sauce.
Mm.
I just, no,
not
thank
the first
you.
Time I've heard that. Kevin.
Hold the bacon, I'm in.
What is wrong with you?
I'll say eat it, that's fine.
Okay.
Bean?
Remember, Kevin doesn't like bacon enough for us.
Right. He thinks it's okay.
It's good.
Yeah. I'm going to, I hate to screw up the rules here. I'm going to go ahead and buy one, but I'm going to give it to Beer Mug because I know how happy it's going to make me.
Oh, that's nice.
And then beat it. That was the fast food report.
Signing off for KROQ 106.7 FM. That was the fast food report with Jensen Karp.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, KROQ.
I mean, why marijuana isn't crushing major pharmaceuticals right now is like, it really is a healer. It's a healing plant that God planted on the earth.
Right.
I think
doesn't
since
sound like it.
The dawn of man, humans and Neanderthals, they've been consuming cannabis.
Yes, Muggs. That's a great point. Thank you very much.
I'd like to say maybe he's the wrong spokesman, though, having said that.
And by the way, speaking of consuming cannabis, listen to this, you guys. In West Hollywood, there were over 300 applicants for 8 cannabis consumption licenses. The very first one was granted to Lowell Farms. It is the first business in the United States to be granted a fully legal cannabis consumption license. It is at La Brea and, what did you say, Allie, Lexington?
Yeah, around Lexington. Right up from Santa Monica Boulevard.
It is called the Lowell Cafe, and I guess we are blessed and lucky to have it in our community. The Lowell Cafe spokesperson, director of restaurants, Kevin Brady, joins us on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Good morning. Nice to talk to everybody.
You as well. I understand from our producer, Dave, that we got you up extra early for this interview today, so we apologize in advance. Sorry about that.
It's not a problem. I work in restaurants. 7 o'clock in the morning. It's not as high as the office.
Sure. Okay. So this is an interesting development. Since recreational marijuana has been legal in California for some time now, I assumed that this was inevitable, but you guys are the first. Why was it important for you to get into this? Why did you guys want to open this restaurant?
So the project for us started about 4 years ago when we petitioned the city to actually create the license. So this has been a long time of really a lot of hard work and dedication to get the restaurant up and running. And it's been so much fun and so exciting. And working with the city of West Hollywood has been just incredible. They're so progressive, and we're really excited to finally share it with everybody.
So how does it work? Is it infused food, or do you smoke and then you eat? What's the process?
Great question. So originally the plan was to infuse food. Unfortunately, state regulations aren't caught up with local municipalities, so we're not quite there yet. So as of right now, as far as ingesting cannabis, we have smoking, we have vaping, and we have prepackaged edibles.
Prepackaged. I see. Okay. All right. So then do you have somebody come say, oh, this is the best, this is the best weed for this dish?
Like a sommelier.
Like, yeah. Like, do you have that?
Yeah. So that's kind of what the entire idea is. So for us, we always fundamentally wanted to be a really amazing restaurant, like an institution as far as West Hollywood is concerned, but without having alcohol, using the social aspects of cannabis. Knowing that people have different experiences, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you smoked once or twice in high school, or maybe you're Snoop Dogg. That entire variation is really up to us to kind of guide you through that experience. So our flower host will actually walk to the table, though. They'll talk to you about what you're looking for. Are you looking to go back to work? Are you going to go see a show at the Bowl? What is that experience that you're actually asking about?
Interesting.
And kind of guiding the guests all the way through.
Can I say I'd like to just spend 12 hours here and then have weed and then eat and then have weed and wait for a while and then eat?
I mean, at 12 hours, I feel like I should put you on payroll.
You right. Be yes. Anyway. I'll get paid for that. All right.
Hey, our Kevin, tell Kevin on the phone about how time vanished for us in Amsterdam.
Well, I mean, there was no food there. Mm-hmm. It was just weed and hash and stuff. And mm-hmm. so we bought a whole bunch of it. We didn't know what most of it was. We all sat in the back corner mm-hmm. around a bunch of couches at 6 p.m. And 1 minute later, it was midnight. We were like, what? What just happened?
Have you run into anything like that at the restaurant, Kevin?
So, yeah, I will say we've been open now since Tuesday. So we've been lucky enough to see a few guests that have come for lunch and dinner all the days so far. And there's been a line down the block all day, every day, which has been so, so exciting and fun. But to your point, yeah, it's kind of a concern on our end. People do sit down and really enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
So we do ask that everybody respects about a 90-minute time at the table, just because there's so many people that are waiting.
That makes sense.
We're not talking like a pizza and burgers. This is a Le Fancy. Cordon Bleu trained chef, right?
Yeah, Chef Andrea created this entire menu. The entire idea is to be farm to table, hyper local, and hyper seasonal. So we really kind of focus on creating a great menu, and knowing that something like this could be viewed as a novelty, it could be viewed as a flash in the pan. Mm-hmm. For us, we want to be a restaurant that, at the end of the day, people continue to come to for 15, 20 years.
Kevin, so you've got vapes and you've got joints and all that. You've got edibles. But what about the smoke? Like,
yeah,
if I'm going to be in there and I just don't want
to
be surrounded by smoke.
Oh, right. Sorry, I'm going the wrong
way.
I don't want it to
feel like my grandma's basement where she used to hide and smoke.
Right.
Like, I don't want it to always feel like I'm, like, coughing. Or
Kevin, is it like Jensen's grandma's basement?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been to Grandma Jensen's basement.
Right.
Okay. So I don't know exactly. But what I will say is this. We were challenged with two parts. One being the neighborhood, right? So we wanted to be a good neighbor in the community that we're in. So we didn't want to have billowing smoke going out into the residential areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, we don't know where our guests are going after they come to us.
Oh, good point.
So they come in for lunch and they smell like cannabis and they go back to work. Obviously, there's some concerns that would come from that kind of a thing. Or maybe there could be. Mm-hmm. So we invested in an air filtration system that actually will take the air through carbon filters so that the guests in the restaurant and even the guests outside on the patio feel like they're in a really bright, airy kind of space. It was a huge challenge. I will say we went through about 12 different vendors to figure out the right system. But at the end of the day, we put a rover on Mars. We can figure out how to do
that. You guys did that?
Kevin.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing.
I take credit for that.
This is the second amazing thing you've done.
I got to get the weed they have there. Very productive.
Speaking of which, how good is the weed?
You know, honestly, I will say this. I personally don't consume very often at all.
But narc. As the menu, Kevin's a narc.
Yeah, no, right?
Stay away from Kevin, you guys. All Kevin suck.
Wait, what?
So our menu, crafting the menu has been part of the 4 years of planning. So we've had the entire team of Lowell about 200 employees that are just dedicated to making sure that this project is incredible. So finding things that are really accessible for people who are beginners, or I think we call it canna curious, the people that are avid cannabis consumers. So different vessels to smoke with. We partnered with some really great companies and really kind of just allowed that to translate into the entire venue as a whole.
Is there a Snoop booth? No one can sit there but
Snoop. Just him when he comes in. Right.
I would love to have a Snoop booth.
No, sure.
We will, as soon as he comes in, I will figure out what we can do to make that happen. Okay. So hopefully he's listening.
It just seems like every restaurant should have that.
Yeah, to kick out the normies. Get out of here. There's a real weed dude here.
And Snoop is always up listening to the radio at 7:30 a.m. So that's good. Look, Kevin, we're out of time here. You had me at jalapeno mac and cheese, by the way. You already got me through the door. That just sounds amazing. So if people want to come down, again, we mentioned it's the Lowell Cafe on La Brea at Lexington, 1201 North La Brea. You do have to be 21 and up with ID, right? It's about a two-hour wait to get in right now. Is that the truth?
So as of right now, we are obviously accepting reservations. Reservations open about 30 days in advance, and they sell out probably between about 15 and about 30 minutes.
Wow. Okay. So plan ahead.
So I would say one, plan ahead, but we've also seen a lot of people who plan ahead and then day of something comes up. So always check as far as the restaurant is concerned for reservations.
Yeah, they might be too high.
A lot of things continuously change.
Right,
they're just
yeah.
too high. And they
too high to remember.
Yeah.
Also, if you just give the people in line for 2 hours weed, they don't know how long they've been there. It's all good.
Right. Right.
Well, Kevin, yeah, it sounds like you have a great operation over there on La Brea, man. Thank you for putting all the hard work in, and thanks for explaining it to us. It sounds great. Congratulations on the opening.
Thank you so much. Absolutely a pleasure to be on the show.
Thank you. See you soon.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
If this is what you were looking for.
Working to Jock Peterson, and this ball is driven. Deep right. Keep your eye on that. Off the foul pole. Home run. Two balls, one strike, and here it comes. Line drive, right field, base hit. Two runs are going to score. And it is a 4-0 game. In the air to right. Eaton goes back. He's got no chance at this one. The 21-year-old just went deep.
The Dodgers shut out the Nationals 6-0 in the first game of the National League Division Series.
For a team that didn't get a hit till the fourth inning, they sure dominated that game, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Kevin, I know you only have a limited bandwidth for baseball, and it is the Dodgers in the playoffs. That's the only time you can really get on board. But the Cardinals-Braves game was unbelievable,
too. It was really good. I know it's hard for you to get excited.
But the Braves
only watch the Dodgers occasionally because I have so many friends. But
the Braves had a 3-run lead going into the ninth and lost.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of excitement in the playoffs so far this year. All right, Allie, it's one of our favorite What's Happenings of the whole week here at this time on a Friday.
I only watch Dodgers because I have so many friends.
What a dick.
And you don't mean on the team. He has no friends on the team. He just means in general. I have friends who want to talk about
it. Okay. I mean, that is just quite the humble brag right there, Kevin.
That's not what I meant. I just meant I didn't want to hear a lot about the Atlanta Braves.
I'm telling you, it was a great game.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Yeah, Bean, this is your favorite What's Happening because it's the time when we talk about That's My Jam. It is our Spotify playlist where we're going to link you right now. If you get any of our social media at Kevin and Bean, you are going to see that playlist. Just hit follow. You're going to have over 6 hours of songs from every single member of the Kevin and Bean Show. We pick a new song each week. Could be something brand new. Could be something that we were like, oh, man, remember that song? That's My Jam. Hence the name.
There's a reason for it.
Yeah, that's a reason. Kevin, you're up first.
I have to be honest, I forgot the name of my song.
Colors,
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This was released late last year, but I was not aware of it until this week. The song is Colors, and the artist is Kulik.
When you skate, I scream, I feel everything. When you blind, I see all the colors. When you're close to me, it's too quiet to breathe. When you're blind, I see all the colors.
And I probably listened to that song 40 times in a row.
Oh.
Do you guys do that where you get stuck on a song or do you keep moving to other stuff?
Not 40. I mean, that seems extreme.
It's about 40.
I do take medicine to make that stop.
You do? Okay, so I can take some medicine.
When I was a kid, I listened to a Belle Biv DeVoe song 130 times
Poison.
In a row.
Poison.
No, it's a song called Word to the Mother. Not even a B-side.
No.
And I'm still very much 130 in a row.
Yeah, so you got to get to
can
get
you
on
bring
top of
in
that.
Some medication? Yeah,
that is called OCD.
Yeah, you could share it with me.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm.
Bean, you're up next.
Legendary rock and roll band The Pixies are back with their third post-reunion album. It is being called by some their best album ever at this late stage of their career. That's amazing when you consider how many great records they've made. The album is called Beneath the Eyrie, and the song that I picked is not only a great Pixies song, sounding exactly like the classic Pixies you love, it is perfect for the Halloween season. This has spooky all over it. It's called Graveyard Hill from The Pixies. Tell me that doesn't sound like it should be on every K-Rock party playlist for Halloween this year.
That sounds perfect.
Again, Pixies' Graveyard Hill is my pick for That's My Jam.
Jensen, you're up next.
Listen, greatest rapper alive, in my opinion, is one guy. I say it all the time. It's Pusha T, formerly of The Clips. He is the best. I think he's single-handedly keeping Kanye West to an extent, like, actually rap relevant, because everything Kanye produces for him is so good.
Oh, Kanye produces a lot of his stuff?
Yes, the last few years.
Like him over Kendrick. That surprises me.
Oh, yes.
Push over T's. Nas?
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely based on the last Nas album, yes. But Pusha T
is Jay-Z?
Current rapper. I'm saying
Biggie?
Well, he's not alive.
What?
Let's just keep naming rappers. This is funny.
Vanilla Ice?
Well, that you got me on finally. Ninja, go ninja rap. But Pusha T, yes, I think is the best current modern day, not career based, but modern day alive rapper. And he has a new song with Miss Lauryn Hill.
Oh.
And it's produced by Kanye. It's called Coming Home, and that's my pick. Now it's jail poses and club pictures, airbrush backdrops and jail visits. This the dope boy song for the dope boys gone. Let them know it's still
when snowing. When love's withdrawn, you hold on to anything. Some do wrong, they have to do anything. But when the void is filled, you'll stand up to anything. When love is real, you can do anything.
All right. Yeah.
God, I love Lauryn Hill so much.
It's great. And soon you're only going to hear Kanye production over, like, words about Jesus Christ. So Push is the
enjoy
place
this.
You're going to have to go. Yeah.
So enjoy this. I wonder what the process is to get Miss Lauryn Hill on your record, because it seems like she is she comes out for very few things.
Yeah, it's got to be like a six-year process or something.
Yeah.
Well, my pick is, sadly, somebody that passed away on Wednesday from ALS. It's Kim Shattuck. And if you paid any attention to the alt-rock scene late 80s, 90s, you knew this woman. She was one of my all-time favorites in college. She was in a band called the Pandoras in the 80s. She was the bass player. And then she's like, I'm going to try guitar. Switched to guitar and founded the pop punk band The Muffs. And they were one of my all-time favorite bands. They achieved kind of peak notoriety in 95. And a lot of people may know them from doing a cover of Kids in America for the Clueless soundtrack. That's how a lot of people were like, what's this band? Then they looked them up and realized, oh, they rule. She was briefly in the Pixies, tour replacement for Kim Deal, but was basically fired because she was too fun.
Oh.
Yeah. No joke.
That's why, like, I have to leave the show.
Yeah,
you guys decided I was too fun.
She basically said the other guys were a little more introverted, and she did a stage dive at the Mayans, came off stage, and one of their managers was like, don't do that again. She goes, oh, because of my safety? And he goes, no, because the Pixies don't do that. And then she was fired via phone. So basically, that's how much she rules, because she was fired from the Pixies for having too much fun. But I picked a song, one of my all-time favorite songs from the Muffs, and it is called Sad Tomorrow.
I don't even know why. Do you think I'm a mess? Maybe someday without you're gone. When I do as I please, I'm indifferent to me. Am
you have good luck. You're the top of the town, so you say. Oh, I don't know why you're so glad, but mine is new sorrow. So maybe if I fade away, there'll be no sad.
Good mix this week.
Yeah, and just so you know, they had recently reunited to record their first album in 5 years, and it's going to come out on October 18th. So rest in peace to Kim Shattuck. She is a legend. Again, that's my jam. You can find it at Kevin and Bean. Just click on that playlist. You've got all new music. Some birthdays, who cares? That's what's happening.
It's Kevin and Bean!
KU Rock. KROQ.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This day in history with Old Man Reuben.
It was today in 1927 that sculptor Gutzon Borglum began work on Mount Rushmore, a job that would take a grueling 12 years to etch Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, and Teddy Roosevelt's faces into the mountain. I remember talking to Gutzon about it, and I asked, why four? Just do one and call it a day. No one cares. Like, for example, the Lincoln Memorial? That chair was supposed to fit six people. That's why it was so damn big. But dude got through the first phase and was like, f*** it. Call it the Lincoln Memorial. He just went home. And the Statue of Liberty was supposed to be sisters. Well, not like real sisters. Like sisters you see on Brazzers or whatever. Just models who look alike. But yeah, all you see is one, right? Anyway, that Gutzon dude had good work ethic. Good for him. I barely can screen two consecutive calls in a row.
You gonna get that?
Nah.
See, because Reuben is old.
All right, we're in a weird place now with Reuben is old stuff.
Completely freaking out.
It has turned into quite a soap opera. He's seen some stuff. Hey, guys, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk to El Capitan of the Anaheim Ducks coming up later this hour. Ryan Getzlaff makes his first appearance of the 2019 season. Kevin, be nice. I hear you over there.
Be nice.
You like him.
By the way, he's the best duck.
Mm-hmm.
And he called in on Chip's last day.
He's a wonderful man.
Wonderful gentleman.
Amazing. He's delightful,
I
yes.
feel like he's the show's hockey player. Like, he's our
Let's
guy.
Let's not get crazy.
Okay. Never
mind. Speaking of sports, though, we had a conversation last week after it was the NL wild card game, right?
Yep.
With the Brewers, and who were they playing?
Washington, right?
The Washington Nationals. That's why the Nationals are playing the Dodgers right now. Okay, yes. I'm sorry, there's a lot of
I'm glad we can work through this.
Keep straight. The Brewers are up 3-1 with two outs in the bottom of the eighth. But, Allie, your least favorite baseball player, Josh Hader, managed to load the bases.
Oh, I hate a lot of baseball players, but he's up there.
He's on the list,
yeah.
Right? So a Nationals player manages to hit a ball into the outfield that should have been an easy scoop for the fielder out there.
It was maybe the grounder somebody, when it got to him?
Yes, for the grounder that got to him, right? So this is Trent Grisham, who's in the game, and he does not handle the ball as well as he might have hoped he would.
Line drive, base hit to right. That'll score one, that'll score two as the ball gets away from Grisham and right. That's going to score three runs. And the Washington Nationals have the lead.
Oh, man.
As a professional baseball player.
And held the lead and won the game. And that was the end of the Brewers' otherwise pretty remarkable season. They were the hottest team in the sport. And they are sitting at home watching the playoffs right now because of what you could argue because of that play. I mean, obviously, you know, Hader takes some of the blame for loading the bases. But Trent Grisham, I mean, this is the question I asked when we came in after that game. You screw up like that at work, no matter what kind of job you have, you blow it. Mm-hmm. And you're responsible for the company losing a lot of money or a lot of people getting fired or getting in trouble with the law or, in this case, not going to the playoffs. How do you deal with that? How do you shake that off and get up the next day or, in this case, in a few months and go back to work?
Right. In sports, it happens a lot, whether it's Bill Buckner, who became like an adjective, basically. He's a real Bill Buckner. Or, you know, like Steve Bartman, who went off and got a new job in a new city and changed his full name. I mean, so like this is a common sports thing, but it's got to happen in real life.
I can't imagine for 2 months just waiting even for the next season, just like.
Yeah,
that was a ground ball to me.
In his defense,
it was a ground ball to me.
Exactly. And we were talking about it the other day. In his defense, like, that's the go-ahead run. The tying run was not an error.
Right.
He was already scoring no matter what. But you always remember the guy who had the error. Like, in Bill Buckner's case, no one remembers Calvin Schiraldi, the pitcher who actually gave up the hit. But, you know, it's going to stick with him.
I remember Hader because those bases were loaded because of Hader.
Yes.
So we wanted to do, we thought it might be an interesting phone topic today. The biggest screw up you ever did at work. All right.
Maybe you got fired. Maybe you didn't.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. What happened? How did you deal with it? What were the fallouts? What were the repercussions? And if you continued to work at that place, as Trent Grisham will, what was it like with your coworkers? I mean, how long does it take the stink of that to get off of you if you're really the guy who blew it? You know what I mean? If you cost the company $100,000 by an error, you know, people are looking at you like, hey, I don't get a Christmas bonus this year. You know,
right.
It's on you. So we want to take your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. Muggs, you must have screwed up a lot. What's your biggest screw up since you're working here at K-Rock?
Where do I begin? nothing, thankfully, that would cost the company a lot of money, but stuff that, you know, tarnishes my own self a little
Your
bit.
Your professional reputation.
Yeah.
That Bean's question right there was a mistake at work.
Have you ever, like erased a Kevin and Bean show? Like, we lost files forever because of you?
It's funny that you mentioned that, Bean, because
I do believe they leave
the food.
You have a microphone in front of you. Stop yelling.
Sorry, the Percocets are working.
Doesn't matter.
At April Foolishness, I was walking around getting some audio, and I didn't erase the files as much as I have no idea where I put the card that the audio was on.
Right, and just to follow up, you did not have a broken collarbone then, so no Percocet.
No Percocet then. That was might have just been alcohol.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah. I have Charles Schulz, Bean.
The Charles Schulz interview, that story.
Bean and I interviewed Charles Schulz. We went to him, talked all about the whole Peanuts thing and who each sort of represented in his family. It was
He's the creator of the Peanuts
amazing.
Cartoon.
He's
for
an
folks
icon. Yeah.
It was fascinating. Legendary. And I don't even love cartoons, but it was fascinating to hear him talk about each individual character. And some of these traits were based on this person and that person.
And he was so patient and kind and funny and articulate. And he really, like, gave us a great interview.
Right. And then we interviewed somebody else and my first joke was, I sure hope this isn't, we're not taping over the Charles Schulz interview. Of course, it was 100% a joke. We were taping over the Charles Schulz interview.
No.
Never aired 1 second of it.
Do you remember who you taped over?
I don't even remember who it was.
I don't either.
It wasn't Charles Schulz.
It was Corey Feldman. Super bummer.
We didn't even have a clip to play.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
It was a complete waste of our time and Mr. Schultz's time.
But that's only one of millions for me.
Yeah.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. You screwed up at work. Let's talk to Valerie before the break. She's in Covina on line 4, up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, Valerie.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
I love this topic, and I appreciate you calling in. What did you do?
Well, I was at work, and I was like, what's this button for? So I hit the button, and it turned out to be a panic button. And before you know it, our store was surrounded by the police and SWAT. And
were they yelling on a bullhorn?
What's that?
Were they yelling on a bullhorn?
Come
out with your hands up.
Well, it was late. It was like closing time. Mm-hmm. So everybody, the whole store was so mad at me because everybody wanted to go home. It was a Friday night.
Oh,
everybody
was
ready to go out. And it was in Pasadena. So, we were going to go party there. And so we had to stay late. And then they were telling me that we were going to have to pay because it was a false alarm. We were going to have to pay for the
SWAT response.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know if that turned out to be true or not, or if they're just trying to make me feel really bad. It was a while ago, so I was kind of young.
Most people would walk by that button and say, what's that button, and just keep walking. I like that you just pushed it. Well, let's give it a try.
I,
put, What could go wrong?
It was like under the desk, kind of. It was like hidden.
Like where you put a panic button?
Yeah. The only place a panic button is?
It's like it was weird, like hidden under your desk, so you'd only hit it if you were really frightened.
Yeah. Or, yeah. It was hidden, so no one could see it. It was great.
There wasn't a sign. They didn't tell.
You don't understand what panic buttons are, do you? All right. Thank you for the call, Valerie,
we love you a lot, but look up panic buttons.
1-800-520-1067. What was your worst screw-up at work? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
Listen to this from the 951 just texting into the Kevin and Bean Show. I am in payroll, and I paid someone a $30,000 bonus instead of a $3,000 bonus.
Sweet.
You're bad. I'm keeping it.
Yeah, you get to keep that money, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if it comes from payroll, it's legit.
That's how it works.
How did you screw up at work and what were the repercussions? Michael El Segundo, line 3. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, enthusiasts. Happy Friday.
Morning. Happy Friday, you mean.
Day.
Yes, Friday. So I worked at a rental car company, and to kind of help our days go a little bit more quickly and smoothly, we would leave the keys in the cup holders of the cars. And my boss always told me not to do that, and I just kind of played it off. But I should have listened to him because we ended up having 5 cars stolen off of our lot.
Different times or all at once?
All at once, actually. And to add insult to injury, 3 of them ended up being involved in various crimes in downtown L.A.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you get fired, Michael?
I did not get fired. I just had a very serious sit down with my boss and his 2 bosses, and I did lose my whole commission check for that month, and ended up actually paying out my assistant manager the commission that he would have got had we not lost about $80,000 worth of cars.
Oh, unreal. Man.
That doesn't seem ideal.
That is rough.
I need a rental car in November, so if you could just email me like a code or something, that'd be great.
Sure, tell us what keys you leave in.
Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Edgar Woodland Hills up next, line 5 on K-Rock. Hey, Edgar, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
What's up? So I used to work as a bike messenger and in downtown. One day I come in, they shoot me a page, go pick up from the jewelry district. So automatically knew. I get there and it's a banker bag full of what felt like stones. There I go drop them off on the west side. So I'm on my way over there and I stop for coffee and I put the bag in my hip sack. I guess on the ride out there, I must have dropped the bag. When I got to the destination, I reached for the hip sack and the bag's not there. I immediately froze. I tried to retrace my steps. I couldn't find the bag. So I bit the bullet and I called my boss. I'm like, you know what, dude? I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I lost the bag. And he's like, are you serious? I'm like, yep. Had me on standby for a couple minutes. Called him back. He's like, come to the office right now. So I go to the office. Dad just gives me a dead look in the eyes. He goes, I'm sorry, dude. You're fired.
What happened?
Straight up, just saying.
What was the value? What was in the bag?
They were diamonds. They were diamonds, and I was picking them from a diamond wholesaler to take them to an actual jeweler. And in between that, I lost the bag.
How much were they worth?
A little over $15,000.
No.
Oh. Edgar.
By the way, I'd just like to say, who's like, there's $15,000 worth of diamonds. Send the guy on the bike. That seems like a bad choice.
It's like normal business practice. Like, I've done it before where I picked up other bags, and it's like I checks for $1 million and then like bags full of like stones.
Body parts.
Yeah, you know, things like that.
Sure.
And sure enough.
I'm glad you shared your story, but now that we're off the air, were you able to fence all those diamonds?
Yeah,
what
did
you do with
them?
Sell them?
Yeah.
Clean it off?
Well, I don't know if you guys can tell, but I'm calling from the Bahamas right now.
Well played.
Please mark them for caller of the year.
Thank you very much. All right. That was $15,000. Now let's go up to Daniel, Pico Rivera, line 6. We're going to up the ante a little bit on your mistakes at work. Daniel, what happened?
Good morning. Good morning, party people.
Good morning.
Luckily, it wasn't me. I worked for a construction company. One of the guys did an accounting error. Big project, $120,000 had to be paid back to the client because of this guy. This was 2 months ago. Mm. He's been fired, and we haven't heard from him since.
$120,000.
So he sent that money to the wrong vendor, basically, is what you're saying.
I don't know how he screwed up because the boss didn't want to tell us how he screwed it up, but it costed the company $120,000 back to the client for a construction job. Oof.
Damn, Daniel. Yeah.
All right, Allie, seriously. We all could have done it. We thought better of it. Show some self-restraint, woman.
But Kevin, why did I do it? You tell them.
Why did you do it?
We were, as soon as the name Daniel came up, we looked at each other and I was like, don't you do it.
Don't do it.
But then, for some reason, I was like, hey, go ahead.
And he actually pointed at me, like, cued me to do it. You made me, Kevin.
I didn't make you do anything.
You made me do it.
All right, this Daniel, is a bad thank workplace. You for the call. We appreciate it. All right, that's $120,000. So let's see if Donna on line 7 can top it. She's in Glendora. Hey, Donna.
Hello,
hey,
Donna.
Donna.
Is Donna on the phone?
Oh, my God.
We got it. We got it, Allie.
God damn you.
Come on, Donna. I don't think, let's put her on hold and go back to her because we don't want to lose her because this is amazing.
All right.
Last chance for Donna. Hello.
Can we go to line 4?
Yes,
Donna lost the company $6 million.
Oh!
Maybe that's why she got off the phone.
Because of paperwork.
No, I'm here.
Oh, no, you're here. Well, I just told your story.
What did you do for the first 5 minutes of this call?
I'm a big screw up. I can't even work my own phone.
Apparently not, Donna. So how did you lose the company $6 million?
Oh, gosh. So long story short, I put proposals together, so I'm responsible for putting these packages together, and they have all these forms. So I left out a form of a $5 million project, and the client disqualified us. So that one we may or may not have won, I don't know. But the other one, we were the low bidder, and it was over $1 million, and I left out a stupid form saying that we don't do business with Iran. So stupid.
Uh-huh. And so basically,
lost that job that was ours.
They needed to know for sure that their business dealings were above water, basically.
Right. Yeah. So you were in charge of putting the packages together to bid for jobs, and because of your errors, you had no chance of getting.
Why after
jobs?
Package one were you in charge of doing package two?
I know, right? I am so grateful for my job. I can't believe how bad it is, and I was telling Bear Mug, I'm so afraid to go into work today. Like, it hasn't hit me how horrible this is until I heard you guys talking about it on the radio this morning.
Did it just recently happen?
No, well, the $5 million was a year ago. The other one was about 6 months ago. And the guy who was in charge of that project, I know he hates me. He doesn't talk to me anymore. He only goes through my boss.
How hot is Donna?
Right, that's what I was thinking.
She has to be hot.
Be a 10.
You go in there and you screw up today like you do, all right, Don?
You stay consistent.
All right.
All right, thank you.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Hockey season is here, you guys.
Right?
Hockey is back. Kevin, how are you going to manage your already very packed DVR schedule with soccer games now that you also have hockey to watch almost
wonderful.
Every night?
It's wonderful. It's so much fun.
Do you just go home and that's it? It's just one sporting event after another?
Pretty much.
You have time for other shows?
Pretty much, yes.
You could fast forward to like the
end. How dare you? The playoffs are just about to start in the MLS, too, so it's an important time there as well. All right. Apparently, Dave's talking to Ryan.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad they're having a nice time.
Let's do this.
Ryan Getzlaf, Anaheim Ducks.
This is Getzlaf. They cross. He has room. Getzlaf with a shot. He scores! How's that for leadership? Ryan Getzlaf has tied it.
Make no mistake. Getzlaf is a wonderful offensive and all-around player, but he can also fight.
That's right.
And he took a pretty good left hand right there.
Getzlaf takes it right in the mouth.
Penner gets it back in front. There's Getzlaf. There's the hat trick.
Great play by Getzlaf. Bats the pass out of midair. And he scores again. Oh, my. He's putting on a clinic.
He is a 2-time gold medal winning Olympian. He is the center and captain of your Anaheim Ducks. And if I remember correctly, he is the only remaining member of the Stanley Cup winning club from 2007. Is that right, Ryan? You're the last man standing from that team?
Oh, this is true, yeah.
Unbelievable. Wow. 19 seasons.
Way to make him feel old. Baby.
Well, no, I'm just saying. It's amazing. It's amazing that Ryan is, you know, still chugging along and still playing great.
How are you able to skate out there? Like when I learned how to skate as a kid, I used that little walker thing in front of me. You using that now, Ryan?
That's how I'm getting there. We've got a lot of jokes going about this.
Well, I will ask you this, Ryan. What is it like? Has it changed in the offseason as you have gotten some older? I assume it has to. You have to change your workup and everything that you do during the summer.
You do. You change the way you approach things in the summer, the time off, the amount of skating I have to do. A lot of different things go into it now. There's a lot less power lifting and stuff like that. It's more about keeping your body in motion and doing a lot more of the core stuff to make sure that your injury prevention and stuff is there.
How much time off is there actually? Like, do you take 2 weeks? Do you take a full month? Are you able to do that?
Well, it depends when you finish. Obviously, last year we unfortunately finished a lot earlier than normal, and so I was able to take a full month and a little bit to kind of just let my body heal and still have enough time to get the body back in shape and trained for the upcoming season.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Kevin, I know you don't subscribe to this theory, but if the season ended today,
yeah, it's
the Ducks would be undefeated for the entire NHL. I mean, you'd have to give them the cup because they never lost a single game.
Right,
but the season doesn't...
Oh, never mind.
Right, but if it did...
That's a great theory.
Yes, it's a great theory.
Ryan, tell us about a new coach coming in and what that's like for the team, even just in training camp.
It's been great. A lot of new energy around the group and with the young players, the new coach, new atmosphere, those kind of things. It's been really refreshing after the last few years, and obviously last year we struggled a little bit, so it's been a great outlook for our group going into this season.
And this is Dallas Eakins, of course, who's been with the organization for a number of years. He was coaching your team down in San Diego. And he's already very familiar with a lot of the kids coming up, which has got to be a real advantage that he's already kind of played with them for a few years.
Yeah, it's great. He knows how to push their buttons. They respect him and understand what he's all about. It's been a great transition for those guys and obviously their comfort level.
What about all the guys sort of in the middle who were either in favor or out of favor with the former coach? Do they get like a new chance to sort of step up and be noticed?
Nice thing is when you get a new coach is everybody feels a little bit of a sense of urgency on how you earn your ice time, those kind of things, because there's no leeway in, you know, in past. He hasn't seen a lot of us play at this level, and you have to earn that trust and everything all over again.
I have to say, I was raised a Kings fan. My parents got season tickets in 1968. But lately, I knew you would be.
Well played.
Lately, I swear to God, there are so many teams stepping up in the most beautiful of ways. When you've got St. Louis Blues going to the young girl Layla's house to give her actual Stanley Cup ring.
I cried at that one.
I sobbed like a baby. And last night, it was all about you guys and your 21st duck. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was great. The overall experience has been really wonderful for all of us. We're talking about a girl that's been through what she's been through and overcome it. I mean, the restrictions on her, she completely eliminated all those restrictions and is able to perform and do things at a high level and enjoy what she's doing. And it's an inspiration for sure.
Yeah, for folks who don't know about young Lyra, I think she's 16 years old now or something like that. She had a congenital disease, I guess, that she had all sorts of surgeries and she was facing life in a wheelchair. And then she just decided to get a double amputation and have prosthetics. And she was out there on the ice last night with the best of them, just skating around with you guys and everything like that. And you kind of made her the 21st duck. It's so emotional. Like Ali says, it's just so wonderful when you see any kind of sporting team that you just think of as being a kind of a money-making and entertainment enterprise. You see that they're actual people that actually care about their fans and actually care about the community. It's so sweet. And the Ducks have a long history of doing stuff like that. That must make you feel real good about the franchise.
It is. That's one of the reasons I'm so proud to be here as long as I have. Our ownership group has instilled that in all of us and in what their direction is and what they feel they owe to the community. And as athletes, we've been pretty blessed throughout our lives and people have sacrificed a lot so that we can do what we do and to be part of it, be able to give back a little bit where we can.
Stop making me love you.
I mean, listen, that's sweet and everything, but Saturday you guys are going to like totally kick the Sharks' ass, right? Because the Sharks are the worst.
Well, Sharks are the worst.
We all agree on that.
Once we're on the ice, we're still doing what we do.
Right. Yes, exactly. Brian, tell us about the season. Give us a quick preview of the season.
Well, it's been good. We're excited. I mean, obviously, like I said, there's been a lot of changes around here, a lot of youth coming in, and the overall excitement. I thought the building was unbelievable last night. Fan support, the way that the crowd responded was really great. And we're just overall very excited to get going here.
Yeah, of course. Now, I have to ask you, and I know you've been asked this a million times, so forgive me, but I mean, you and Corey Perry, I mean, you are peas in a pod. We're so used to seeing you guys next to each other. You even have lockers next to each other for all those years in Anaheim. What's it like? How weird is it to not have him as your right-hand man this year?
It is. It was definitely different going through training camp without him. That was my first one I ever been to without him, and he's definitely missed around here with his you know, his antics in the room and as well as what he can do on the ice. But it's, you know, it's about opportunity for other guys and young players, and that's the way our league goes.
Well, you're going to be playing for the next 40 years, Ryan. I mean, I can feel it.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a lot of players come and go, my friend.
I'm guessing Ryan hopes not.
Well, Ryan is tired.
I'll be in my walker. I'll be in a wheelchair by then.
Exactly. It's easier to skate.
It is very exciting when hockey is back. The Anaheim Ducks are 1-0, and Saturday's game, as Jensen mentioned, is against the Sharks, which is something we can all agree on, by the way. Sharks
correct.
Are bad, right?
The worst, yeah.
All
dead.
Yeah. Ryan, you have always been so great to us at the Kevin Bean Show. We're always so happy to talk to you, and we wish you a fantastic season. I hope we get to do it again, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
You bet. Thank you.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Someone has a Joker movie to go to. He's looking at the clock. Hey, guys, it's time for Keep It 100.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Every Friday morning, we ask you to text in your song. What do you want to hear? Any K-Rock song. If we have it, we play it for you. That's our guarantee to you. Texter number 99 from the 626 was looking for Alive by P.O.D. Jensen, would you say they're the best Christian rap group of all time?
Rock group. I would say they are the best Christian rock group. And then I would also say they might have the best gang vocals. Those are the two things. But I also don't like POD. So moving on.
Texter 101.
A lot of thoughts there.
Yeah. We came very close to making me happy with Modest Yahoo, King Without a Crown, which I would have enjoyed very much today. I'm sorry, Carlos.
Best Jewish reggae artist.
I would say that is also true.
Yes.
But there is only one Texter 100, and the champion this week is Carla.
She's a champion?
She's a champion because she's Texter 100, and she joins us from Walnut. Hey, Carla, how are you?
Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, since you're from Walnut, I want you to settle the dispute that Allie and I are having. I adore walnuts. And Allie, you think they taste like what?
Hot dirt.
Hot dirt. What are your feelings as a walnutter?
Because she lives in Walnut?
Oh, because she lives in Walnut, she must have an opinion on this, yes. One. What do you think?
No on the walnuts.
What's up, Carlucci?
Wow, you hate your own community. Okay.
No, it's not her community. She just lives in Walnut. We're talking about the actual nut that you love in your mouth.
What do you have going on this weekend, Carla? Anything fun?
Nothing, really. All just right. Going to dinner and a mixtape tomorrow at a local nearby hangout here.
Okay. All right. Oh. Well, good for you. How did you pick the song that you've selected for Keep It 100 this morning?
It's been the same song that I've been picking for the past maybe 10 times.
All right.
And it reminds me of my youth, and it's a banger.
All right. Let's go ahead and have Carla from Walnut introduce this to the Kevin and Bean listeners.
What up, party people? Happy Friday.
Amen.
Here is Len. Steal my sunshine.
I know that it's all for me.
That was for Carla, who is wrong about walnuts, but she tweets us visibly shaking. Thank you for picking me. Hey, we didn't pick you. You were Texter 100. That's how it works, Carla. You got to pick your song, and you asked for Len, Steal My Sunshine. Great choice. All right, Allie.
Bean.
What do you think? Steal My Sunshine, the Canadian band Len. Of course, the big sample is More, 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 the classic disco song from Andrew Troop.
Absolutely, everyone knew that.
That we all know and love.
Yes. Right?
Yes.
This was a big hit, but when was it a big hit? When was this a huge K-Rock song?
It was the late 90s, for sure.
Okay.
But was it so late 90s that maybe it didn't become a hit on K-Rock till 2000?
I mean, that would be very late in the 90s.
As late as you can get.
I mean, really. Well, I mean, if it was 2004, that is so late 90s.
Also, are we asking when it became a big hit?
Or we're asking when it was released.
When it was released.
Yeah,
when it was
released. Oh, then 98.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
I'm sorry, it was July of 99. July of 99.
Oh, my God, Allie's leaving. Allie, it was just a year off.
You're just having fun,
Allie. It was a year off, Allie.
Oh.
It was just one year.
Come on. Make sure the door closes hard so they hears it on the radio.
Steal My Sunshine by Land came out in July of 1999. Still sounds great. Thank you to Carla in Walnut. We'll do it again next week for Keep It 100.
Keep It 100.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
It's a shame there's no way to recap things that happened during the week.
Yeah, people miss a ton of stuff.
It is weird that we do so many things and then no one knows what happens at the end.
I know I barely listen.
I know some people after work and most others are still asleep, so it's lucky that your boy Jensen wraps up every week. We ask people if their house is already or scary, and Bean assumes Sandra Barnhart is probably Harry. And Kevin on vacation saw his face on a shirt and used it as a way to be a creep and try to flirt. Instead, the girl's defenses went on high alert and she ran 6 blocks to avoid a pervert. The way the queen eats a banana is just crazy. Rob Corddry told me it's time to shave my baby. A cafe in L.A. lets you smoke Buddha. And Bean dropped in.
This is Bob from Chattanooga.
Now athletes get paid when they're in college. Petros thinks that football should be abolished. Someone better pay CM Punk a lot of cash. If you miss that, download the podcast.
I gotta be honest, that just sounds like a group of crazy people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That all happened this week.
That's just this week.
Kevin and Bean Podcast is available at radio.com or on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get yours. And we appreciate very much those of you who choose to listen to us on delay, as it were. Hey, we got time for one more look at what's happening here on the Kevin and Bean Show before we say goodbye for the week, right?
Why not? Guys, the McRib.
Yes!
Making annual menu appearances since 1981.
Me like it.
Only available for about 1 month a year. Not all stores carry it. Like, can you imagine living in a city that didn't have the McRib?
I mean, it's like not having the internet. I don't know how I'd function.
Fresh water.
It's birthed a cult-like fan base. Kevin, you love the McRib?
Love it. Couldn't love it more.
Explain what the McRib is.
It's a sandwich with a meat-like substance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like a rib, but it doesn't make sense how they don't have bones in between them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of sauce on it, which makes it all good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what are you eating? I don't have any idea.
I think it's squirrel, by the way.
It is not.
Is there an onion and a pickle in it?
Yes.
There is. Okay. It's a boneless pork patty smothered in tangy barbecue sauce that's topped with raw onions and tangy pickles, mm-hmm. all served on a hoagie-style bun.
Okay, I hate to be...
It's pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet.
The party pooper here, but mm-hmm. I have to ask.
It's pretty
Kevin,
sweet.
If you love the McRib so much, yeah. is it an item? You love McDonald's. It's your favorite restaurant. Is it an item that you would regularly order throughout the year if they carried it year-round?
Yes.
Then aren't they missing out on sales? Like, you would buy more McRibs per year if they wouldn't only make it one... available 1/12 of the time.
I don't know why they do that unless it just creates a whole new demand and everybody starts talking about it.
I think that's
again.
It. Maybe. Yeah. Because
but, yeah,
how many
I would eat it all year.
How many McRibs do you eat in that, like, let's say month that it's out?
30.
So and he's being honest. And let's be honest with ourselves. That number's low, Kevin. So,
well, I mean, they are pretty small, so you do need maybe two at a time. Yeah.
So there are a lot of Kevins out there that look forward to this.
I rarely see squirrels around L.A. anymore.
Yeah, well, that's why they have to do it only for a limited time. They have to, like, get the squirrels ready.
So I'm eating year-old squirrels?
No, they breed them all year.
Oh, I see.
Not squirrel. Mm-hmm. But in 2018, the McRib came back on October 29th. 2016, 2017... didn't even come back until early November. That is why this is a huge deal, you guys, because the legendary McRib is back starting Monday, October 7th.
All right.
Yeah. Someone's going to have to get you that during the show, right?
Yeah,
so
please.
Much.
Yeah, that's just going to happen.
Pork patty, it said, right?
A boneless pork patty.
Listen, again, I love McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm eating, but it's good.
Yeah. Dave says the most McRibs he ever had at one sitting was 10.
Oh!
10?
Dave.
Not at one sitting, in the month.
In the month, okay.
Oh, that's very different. No,
that's very different.
That's still weak. Too many.
Yeah.
That's it's weak.
Well, look
that's
at
that.
That's
a lot.
Okay. Oh, you said still too many.
McDonald's, McRibs back. Have you had that? Oh, it's awesome. Why don't they have it year-round? Oh, I so totally have to get a McRib now.
I'm with that guy.
Kevin said 30.
It's a good time to say that this Monday we have Molly Shuler on, who is mm-hmm. the competitive eater that we have become obsessed with.
Yeah.
Correct.
We could always ask her about her McRib record.
Yes.
I bet she has one.
I bet you she has one. Absolutely.
And we should ask DJ Khaled, too.
My thing is, I bought 3 of them. I don't know what you buy. I bought 3.
And now they only got it for 89 cents.
What?
Only for this week. So I ain't gonna lie to you. Might be six. Three on the way to work and three later.
Okay.
He's still good.
Sorry.
He's ready.
Week. Was Bean his hype man? Did you hear Bean? He's all, what? You're a treat.
When I think Bean, I think hype man.
Yeah. For years, yeah. Okay. Guys, there's a couple that when I read this story, I thought to myself, if I was at this wedding, I would boo them. I would audibly
at a wedding,
boo,
you would boo
this couple.
Love it.
And then when I finished this article, I thought to myself, I legitimately hate them and I want their life to be unhappy.
Wow.
You might think that's too far, but when I tell you what they did,
okay. You're
going to get it. This was a photo shared on the Facebook group, That's It, I'm Wedding Shaming. Mm-hmm. Shows a pair of newlyweds still on at the altar, logged onto their phones to immediately update their relationship status to married. Both typing away on their phones in the photo with the officiant in the background.
Well, they're doing it as a bit, though.
How many people in the audience are like, ha, 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 that's so great.
No, but what I'm saying is this would be,
without my following.
This would be very different if the guy, unbeknownst to everybody, just pulled his phone out of his tuxedo and decided to update it. This is something that they coordinated that they thought would be funny.
Which super makes it annoying. Worse. It makes it worse.
But they're not doing it like ironically. That's the thing is they really...
They're doing it so they could check their status to married instead of dating.
Part of the process.
Yeah.
That's lame.
So dumb.
Ugh. So, Bean, you don't hate these people. You don't want them dead like I do.
No, I do hate it. I just think it would have been worse if they had done it just because they were so obsessed with their phones they couldn't let a second go by without updating it.
I think they're doing it
as part of the ceremony.
I think it's worse that they planned it.
Yeah.
And choreographed it and the whole thing.
I mean, I don't want to be friends with them or anything. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I would. I'm not murder button like Allie.
Okay. Well, you're wrong.
Okay.
Danielle and James, good luck.
I'm even questioning my marriage to Danielle right now because she has the same name.
Because the name, yeah.
I hate them.
See that.
I hate them.
Yeah. Did you guys change your Facebook status when you got married?
I think we did. I don't really use Facebook, but I think I did.
Okay.
I think at some point.
Cool.
Yeah.
What's that like?
I think it's
what's
appropriate.
Like to be able to...
Yeah, it's appropriate to do.
Guys, if you love Sesame Street, you'll be happy to know it's moving from HBO to streaming platform HBO Max for its 51st season in 2020. The deal includes 5 new seasons of Sesame Street, several spin-off series, and, just the show's 50-year library.
Wow.
You guys.
Big Bird has not aged a day.
No.
He looks fantastic. Wonderful.
Can we favorite Sesame Street character? Want to just real quick just go through it?
Oh, Snuffleupagus.
Exactly.
Obviously.
Same as mine. Same as mine.
Yeah.
Bean?
I don't know a lot about Sesame Street. Are Bert and Ernie on Sesame Street?
Absolutely, yeah.
Then I am Bert and or Ernie.
Right.
That Which one, though?
I mean, you can't separate them. I mean, it's inconceivable to think of one without the other.
Okay.
Inconceivable.
Kevin, how about you?
Are the two old guys in the balcony?
Those are Muppets.
Okay. Different brand.
They're mine.
Okay. What about Oscar the Grouch? Cookie Monster.
Cookie Monster, sure. Yeah.
Cookie Monster for Kevin, of course.
I wouldn't trust anyone who says Elmo.
Yeah, that's a perv, right?
Bad pick.
That dude's doing some inappropriate tickling.
Yeah.
Muggs, was your pick Elmo before he said that?
No, my pick is the Count.
Oh, yeah. That's actually solid.
Well, it's not solid if you're Kevin Ryder.
Not me.
Yeah. Kevin hates all counts.
By the way, I love Fits in the Tantrums. Mm-hmm. They have a new song out called 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
No.
Yep. How mad are you?
I love them. Yeah, can't listen to that song.
Wow.
It's got counting in it.
Do you guys need a little joy before we end the show?
Yes.
Yeah.
How about getting a phone call from The Rock? Listen to this.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Marie Grover, who turns 100 years old today, and I'm so honored that she's my fan. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Marie. I hear you're a very big fan of mine, which I'm so honored, by the way. That you're a fan, and I know, I believe you're in Philadelphia. I love Philadelphia. I'm sending you so much love.
Going too
and
long
a huge congratulations on 100 years. What an amazing life.
I, and I'm she sure everyone around you right now, I'm very happy you were born. And I'm so happy and honored to send you this message.
And I have nothing else
Marie
to do today.
Grover, happy birthday.
And now happy 101.
And now, you can eat cake, you can get drunk, you can have the best time, party hard. I'm sending you so much love. Mwah. Happy
love
birthday, Marie.
Right back, you rock you.
I think love he that. Came out a little strong, I feel.
He was totally flirting.
He was really hitting on her.
He was thirsty.
That was
trying to line up some 100-year-old action. Mm-hmm.
Her laughing is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
It's great.
Oh.
Will The Rock call me when I turn 100?
He'll be...
That's cute.
He'll be old.
He'll be younger than me, though.
Yeah. Mm.
He should. He should call me. Mm. Hello, it's The Rock.
It would be Taylor Swift for you, clearly.
That'd be great. That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
All right, well, I'll write it down on my calendar.
Okay.
Right there with the Fall Out Boy Green Day Weezer tour. Things that I have planning 10 years in advance.
That's very sweet of The Rock to do that.
Very sweet. I just thought I'd give you a little bit of happiness.
Brevity, though. I mean, he could
have shortened it. And he could have sang the song and then just said, sure. Hey, happy 100th.
Yeah. But she's 100. She has nothing else to do.
Yeah, but he didn't have to be like, I love your city. Sometimes when I'm on 50th and 9th, I have a fried chicken sandwich. Like, we get it, man.
Yeah.
just say happy birthday.
It's pretty sweet, though.
So it's very sweet.
Yeah.
And we loved it. But a little editing wouldn't kill him.
Yeah, a little shorter, dog.
Wouldn't kill him.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, guys, some birthdays for you. Dakota Johnson, Melissa Benoist, Anne Rice, Susan Sarandon, Alicia Silverstone, Liev Schreiber, and that's what's happening.
Thank you, Ellie. And your drive home today, listen to Stryker and Klein's commercial free-for-all, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal helpful Honda dealers. We will see you Monday morning with great news and Chris Jericho in studio.
He's a snack. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, you know, just a couple of bros hanging out. Nothing wrong with that.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't want to do this.
Don't bogart that joint.
Gracias, mi amigos.
Just pass it around.
You can't argue with failure.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
I'm a guy, so I'm better.
We will not let you get away with this. Right here, right now, is where we draw the line.
You're no fun. You're no fun.
Kevin, I hated you. I just want you to know that. In fact, staring at your lifelessness brings me eternal joy. So, peace out.
I hated it, but I wasn't interested in it enough to listen to it again to find out why.
I tell you what, you're not very competent, right? I think everybody can agree on that.
Bong, bong.
Oh, the meatballs.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.